This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes on Tuesday, May the 23rd, 2017. My name is Richard Bradbury, and keeping me company in the studio today is the lovely Audrey Raj.
Oh, thank you, Rich.
You're welcome. And now we've got a weird mix of stories on the show today involving credit cards, 7-Eleven, Toyota, and falconry.
Yes. Is that even still a thing, Rich?
Apparently so it is, yes. Now, but first, we're going to kick off the show with a story on one of your expertise, Audrey. Shopping.
Don't make me sound like a shopaholic, but then again, you know, when I saw this headline on HuffPost, Rich, I had the perfect answer. What should you leave at home when you go shopping?
If you're married, your wife.
Oh, very good. So that was my response. Leave your husband at home or, or your mother.
Your significant other.
Correct, yeah. Well, the author of this article says the right answer, well, among the right answers, is your credit cards, and that you should actually put your credit cards into a cup of water and then store it in the freezer, basically freeze the buggers. So you really want to, so when you really want to use them, you got to wait until the ice melts before you can use it.
Is that a, wouldn't that ruin your card? Aren't they like chip and pin nowadays? And all that kind of stuff?
I saw this on a movie. I think it was Confessions of a Shopaholic, and she really wanted these pair of boots or something like that, but then she had to go home and then she had to chip at the ice to get her credit card out, and when she did, she went like, oh.
Just out of interest, how many credit cards do you have?
I have two.
You have two. I mean, I was asking just around our little team. Arvin has got one and Christina's got one. I don't have any credit cards anymore, you know.
Well, good on you, Rich.
Yeah, it became one of those things where once I'd paid it off, I'm like, I don't ever want one of these horrendous things again.
That's what I thought too. You know, every year when we get our bonus, that's what I do. I pay my credit cards off.
Same.
And I tell myself I'm going to leave it at home, but then I never do. This always finds itself back in my purse.
And I was sick of doing that same thing over and over again. The bonus come in, boom, it's gone.
Yeah.
Anyway, the things we do to keep us from overshopping. So I can understand why these guys at the Huffington Post are suggesting this, because almost one in 10 Americans is a compulsive shopper, and the disorder has even got a name. It's compulsive buying.
Yes, or CB for short.
Yes. Interestingly, most of the research points to poor planning, not a hedonistic lifestyle, as you may have thought, as the reason for overdoing it. So if you're stuck with a five-figure credit card bill, a few adjustments to your shopping experience could do the trick.
Yes, and with the summer sales coming up in the States, this is a good time to try some new strategies, okay? And remember, you don't have to become a statistic. I keep telling this to myself, keep saying this to myself. I'm not sure if I actually believe it yet, but, you know, to help everyone else out there, maybe a bit of myself as well, here are some things that you should leave at home if you don't want to overshop.
Number one, another person with compulsive buying or young kids with little self-control. Any parent will tell you that trying to do any kind of shopping with young children can feel like a truly impossible task at times. There's this thing called pester power, right? I want, and eventually you go, okay, you can have, just shut the kid up.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But that can also be true when you're shopping with friends or a significant other. The best shoppers go solo. They're focused and determined to find the product they need at the best price as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and if you have one of those enabler friends that just tells you that everything looks great on you, you should totally
just buy that. You don't, add it to your wardrobe with your 700 little outfits.
Leave that person at home. Okay, number two, a bad day. So many CB sufferers turn to retail therapy to make them feel better. Retailers even promote it as a way of easing some of your life stresses. Go shopping, it'll make you feel better.
Right.
However, spending money is unrelated to whatever it is that's bothering you, says Kendall Perez. She's a savings expert with couponsherpa.com, a coupon website. And she says it only provides a short-term high that may result in an even worst day if your problems are spending related. So indeed, the right state of mind isn't just desirable for shoppers, it is required.
It's like that buyer's remorse thing, right? You kind of build up to buying the thing that you want, you buy it, and for 5 minutes you feel great.
And then you're like,
why did I do that? My budget is gone.
What budget? At that point,
I can't afford avocados now. Anyway, number three, an unlimited budget. If you have one of those platinum cards without a spending limit, put it in the freezer.
Yes. Freeze your cards. So if you suffer from compulsive buying or know someone who does, these strategies might help. But as before, the only way to stay safe is to keep away from malls altogether or your computer, right? Mm-hmm. So the latter, however, can seem impossible. I know I speak for myself, especially with Zalora or ASOS sending me those emails. You know, we miss you, Audrey. Here's 30% off your next purchase. Evil.
Right.
Evil.
I've stopped signing up for any kind of online purchases recently. I mean, this has been a recent thing of mine. And when I'm trying to change my budget and all that kind of stuff, I realize that the lifestyle I really want, I can't afford, you know. And I'm starting to adult, you know, at 41 years old. I'm starting to adult. It's become one of those things.
I need to get there too, Rich.
You don't. No, 41's not a nice place to be. Anyway, moving on to our next story. 7-Eleven, it's making it easier for you to pay for your purchases. A related topic, of course, at their stores, they become the first Malaysian retailer to accept Alipay.
So even if you freeze your credit cards, you're right with Alipay at 70.
And you may have heard it on our bulletins earlier today that they're going to be this first retailer to accept this mobile wallet payment. And it now looks to attract more Chinese tourists to shop at the convenience store chain.
Yes, indeed. And according to Chief Executive Officer of 7E, Gary Brown, 7E began accepting Alipay from May 12th, and about 94% of their 2,100 stores nationwide are already live with the system.
Right.
So all their stores will be able to accept Alipay within the next 2 days or so. In China, this payment system is a way of life for shopping. So given the growing number of Chinese tourists here in Malaysia, they are hoping for a high uptake.
Okay. So apparently installing this system didn't require a bunch of capital outlay, as it can operate within the existing MOL terminal, made possible by 7-Eleven's strategic partnership with MOL Global Inc. Isn't Vincent Tan involved with that, I believe? I think so, yeah.
All right. Well, Senior Vice President of International Business for Alipay's parent company and financial services group, Douglas Fegan.
What a name.
Said that 2.1 million Chinese tourists visited Malaysia last year, and that number is expected to grow to about 3.5 million this year.
Right.
So big numbers there, and I suppose this is convenience at convenience?
Yeah. Cheeky little joke there. See, Fegan or Fagan, you know, Fagan, it wouldn't have quite the same impact, would it?
Yeah.
Right. So these tourists are obviously already familiar with how their payment systems mechanism and Alipay allowed them to connect with retailers here with information on what was being sold, promotions, and store locations. So if people are familiar with a product and how it works, of course, they're more likely to use it. And it kind of gets around that hassle of having to, you know, convert your currency and one thing or another. They can just come in. I know how this works. Dip, 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 done.
Yeah, and you're done. So in Thailand, Chinese tourists spend up to 5 times more per transaction at 7-Eleven stores because of their Alipay mobile wallets compared to the average transactions here in your Malaysian stores.
Interesting.
5 times more. That's huge. So it seems as though Berjaya's next plan is to roll out Alipay in all of the Berjaya group of companies. Berjaya Corporation have over 5,000 outlets nationwide, and also including your favorites like Starbucks, Wendy's, Kenny Rogers, Radio Shack, Krispy Kreme, and many more.
I didn't realize Radio Shack was under that one as well.
I didn't either.
Well, have you? The thing is about 7-Elevens in Thailand, you've used them, I assume, you know?
Yes, I have.
They are so good. You know, the food that they serve in there is actually decent.
It really is convenient.
Right.
Slightly
different here. Anyway, we've got to take a short break. But when we get back, we're diving deep into the Amazon. Just the app, guys. Just the app. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Being first matters. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes with me, Rich Bradbury, and Audrey Raj. So, as if the world wasn't crossing into Big Brother territory enough, Amazon came up with a seeing and hearing camera a while back called the Amazon Echo Look.
Yep.
And since there's an app for everything, well, there's now an app for that.
Of course there is, you know. To help fuel the fashionistas of the world, the Echo Look is essentially a really intense selfie camera. It can take photos and videos as well as function as a standard Alexa device. So no more excuses for being unprepared, as the Echo Look can provide news updates and weather reports, as well as set timers and play audiobooks.
All those things we used to do as normal people.
As normal people. Now this app can do it for us.
But focusing on the actual app itself then, what the Echo Look app does is mainly support a feature of Amazon's called Style Check, which helps you figure out what to wear based on fashion experts' advice and machine learning. I don't know about you, but I generally use this really high-tech device. It's called a mirror when I get ready in the morning. And that seems to do well enough, you know?
Yes, it also helps you with your OOTD.
Right, it does. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, well, what the app also allows you to do, too, that a mirror really can't help you with is create a personal lookbook for your outfit. So on the plus side for Amazon, they get an inside look to their consumers' closets and potential spending styles, and you get to keep an album of all your fashion forward fantastic outfits that you wear every day, a collection of your OOTDs.
Right. So we started off with a story about how you should save money by not using your credit card.
Then tell you how it's really easy for
really
you
easy, right?
To pay for stuff at 7-Eleven.
And now we're encouraging you to use this app to look through your daily tabs of what you could wear that you can't really afford to wear.
We're all over the place today.
So basically, it's just a really large collection of pictures featuring lots of t-shirts and about 3 interchangeable pairs of jeans. And that sounds like my wardrobe.
Maybe for you. You only have 3 pairs of jeans?
Actually, no.
No?
Do you really need me to tell you how many pairs of jeans
okay,
I've got?
Never mind. We'll take this off air. Okay. So I guess Amazon can't advise me on comfort quite yet, but when it comes to style, and at any rate, the app is now available on the App Store and on Google Play. So let's see if this new app, this new take on what to wear will stick. You know?
I mean, I don't know about you, Ords, but the idea of a mirror is good enough for me. I don't need an app to tell me you should be wearing this, you should be wearing that. I mean, the idea of window shopping, I think, is a great idea.
But
right.
The thing is that imagine what it will do for youngsters who want to know how to dress like, you know, like I don't know, Taylor Swift or Ariana Grande. You know, they want to put stuff together and look like Nicki Minaj. I don't know why anyone would want to do that. I'm sorry I'm bringing up these names.
I'm just getting an insight into your mind right now. This is wonderful.
You know? No, but then again, you know, it will help them. And imagine what it will do for Amazon, because now they know the kind of things that you want to buy, the kind of things that you're interested in.
Yeah.
And then they'll send you those emails like, look what we have in store, and this is 30% off, and we miss you. Come.
And also, being as you like what Nicki Minaj wears, here's her new album that's releasing next week, and her biography that's coming out the week afterwards. And if that's... it's going to be terrible.
Yeah.
You know, maybe if we could just have like a normal mirror with like a tab option. This is what you wore yesterday. Dunk. That's going to happen, isn't it? Now that we said that, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Watch out for Enterprise BizBytes next week. A mirror that tells you what to wear.
Brilliant. Okay, we're going to take a very short break then. When we come back, we're going to be talking about things that involve old tech and new tech, kind of. It's going to get a bit complicated. Stay tuned. Enterprise BizBytes on BFM 89.9.
Business-filled minds, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes with me, Rich Bradbury, and Audrey Raj. As I mentioned before, we're going to be moving on to a story that kind of combines a bit of old tech with new tech, so car manufacturers and blockchains.
Huh?
Okay. So it sounds like a series of defensive maneuvers ripped out of an NFL playbook, right?
An NFL, Rich. You're actually talking about NFL. Come on. This is Malaysia. Let's talk football teams here.
Okay. So
actual football. Soccer. Football.
So you said the word soccer.
Yeah, just so you understand.
Okay. Oh, okay, right. So the blockchain is actually a way to structure data, right? And it's the foundation of stuff like cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin.
Yep.
It consists of linked blocks of transactions, allows competitors to share a digital ledger across a network of computers without the need for a central authority. No single party has the power to tamper with the records, and the maths kind of keeps everybody honest.
Mm.
So like it or not, cryptocurrencies and blockchains are the future, folks.
Yeah.
So to put it in terms that...
Simpler terms
would be a goalkeeper kicking it directly to a striker.
Yeah, so it's a long ball, just like you see in English football, the good times of like Man United. I'm talking about like Paul Scholes and David Beckham and Ryan Giggs. You know, so it's just one shot from Paul Scholes from midfield all the way to a striker waiting, maybe Giggs, and into the goalpost. So
there
it's a long ball. So you're cutting out all the middlemen. You're cutting out everyone else in midfield.
No need for midfield at all.
Straight for goal. Yeah.
Yeah. There. Okay,
there you go.
All right.
So on the same day that Ford officially ousted its CEO in a bid to remake itself as a future-focused vehicle manufacturer, Toyota have announced their own steps to embrace technology's new wave. And while Ford is looking to catch up to the leaders in autonomous and electric vehicle manufacturing, Toyota, through the Toyota Research Institute, appears to be taking the next fork in the road towards enabling the autonomous and electric future.
So the guy from Ford that is now the CEO is the one who was ahead of the autonomous vehicle vehicle department.
Their self-driving vehicle department. He's now the CEO.
That's where we're going, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so together with MIT's Media Lab, Toyota has enlisted a series of partners that specialize in different aspects of blockchain technology to explore how the technology might be applied to the car industry.
Yep, so Toyota have unveiled a number of projects that aim to address how software will help people become comfortable with autonomous technologies. That means monitoring and distributing information about the safety of individual vehicles, the way owners use their cars, and also to cut down on fraud.
Right.
Yeah, so hundreds of billions of miles of human driving data may be needed to develop safe and reliable autonomous vehicles, said Chris Ballinger. He's the director of mobility services and the chief financial officer at Toyota's research Institute, and he said this in a statement.
Yeah, so he goes on a little bit saying blockchains and distributed ledgers may enable pooling data from vehicle owners, fleet managers, and manufacturers to shorten the time for reaching this goal, thereby bringing forward the safety, efficiency, and convenience benefits of autonomous driving technology. Basically, as we alluded to at the beginning, they're cutting out the middleman.
Yep.
And with that, any chance of there being any tampering with any data, and as we've seen with some of the other vehicles, Jeep, we're talking about you, as one of their vehicles was hacked into fairly recently. It's possible, possible to hack into some autonomous vehicles or any vehicle that is networked. And this blockchain technology should stop a lot of that.
Thank God for that, because that's just freaking
terrifying,
imagine
right?
Imagine your car being hacked. You know,
I mean, you have literally no control over it.
Exactly. So initially, the research is focusing on sharing data on every trip that an autonomous vehicle takes, on developing tools that users can have to make ride-sharing easier, and to create new insurance products that are usage-based for customers who may prefer that kind of coverage.
Right.
And the TRI, the Toyota Research Institute, isn't just working with MIT on this initiative, but also with a few choice startups and smaller companies big in the blockchain space. So who's involved? Berlin-based Big Chain DB, a startup which raised over $3 million to develop a flexible, scalable, blockchain-based ledger. They're helping develop the kind of architecture Toyota will need to roll out to have growth and the scale that it wants. Meanwhile, Oaken Innovations and Commuters, that's Commuters with a Z.
Of course it is.
They're from Dallas and Tel Aviv, respectively. They're working to develop blockchain apps for car sharing, vehicle access and payments, and carpooling.
Right. Finally, Toyota is tapping the LA-based blockchain application developer Gem to port the applications it's been developing for the healthcare insurance industry to car insurance. The company provides a ledger for distributed inputs from a number of different sources that can be used to automate much of the insurance claim process. Yeah. With Toyota, Gem will specifically work on usage-based insurance products tied to the telematics. Mm. Long-distance transmission of computerized information. I just pulled that out of thin air, you know. And that's all coming off a user's vehicle.
Yeah, so TRI's partners include Big Chain DB from Berlin, like I mentioned earlier, which is building the data exchange for sharing driving. Oaken Innovations as well. They are developing an application for P2P car sharing.
And we mentioned Commuters as well.
Yeah,
and a few other bits and pieces. It's all getting very technical, right?
Very technical, but very fascinating too.
I thought so. And just to let you know, if you've not really had much interest in kind of cryptocurrencies, now might be a good time to kind of check them out. Prices right now are surging. If you have any kind of Bitcoin or any kind of crypto, Bitcoin in particular, prices have really, really gone up. You should be selling that stuff right now. Anyway, we're going to take a very short breather, but we'll be back after these messages with a story for all of you Bird and Bentley lovers. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Bemused football managers. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes with me, Rich, and Audrey. Now, Audrey, car manufacturers tweaking their models to kind of cater to the need of animal lovers isn't new, per se.
No, it's not.
For instance, Nissan have recently revealed a prototype X-Trail that is especially designed for dog owners to accommodate their canine companions. Now, it looks like Bentley will also be spreading their wings to cater to this niche market by launching a model specially designed for, wait for it, Falconers.
Falconers.
Yeah, yes. Falconers.
Yes, being the mostly royal elite who keep falcons as pets and participate in the ancient sport of Flying falcons.
Falcons or falcons or whichever falcons. We like. We'll go with falcons.
Yes.
So that's right. This car is called the Bentley Bentayga. The Bentayga. And it's specially adapted by Molina, who are Bentley's in-house coach building division, to cater for the needs of those who need to ride in style, but also have a giant bird of prey in the car with them.
Exactly, because it's called the Bentley Bentayga Falconer Edition.
There you go.
Yes. So, you know, to be honest, Rich, I really can't see this trend picking up in many areas.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Nissan unveils the X-Trail for dogs.
Okay, Bentley, I get that,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I know. Bentley caters to falconers. What's next? You know, is Jaguar going to cater to cats? Proton going to cater to hamsters? Toyota to... Maybe Toyota will have a special compartment for their goldfish.
That's awesome, but... Yeah okay.
But since Falconry is known as the sport of kings, it's not surprising why the ultimate luxury auto brand decided to make custom models for potential buyers.
I mean, if you can afford to have a falcon wrapped around your arm, you're pretty much in the echelon of people who can afford a Bentley. And here's the thing. Not only does this new Bentley Bentayga Falconry by Mulliner offer... I'll just say that again. Bentley Bentayga Falconry by Mulliner offer all the specifically tailored accessories and storage for domesticated falconers. The dashboard features a 430-piece wood inlay of a Seika falcon soaring high above the desert. And this incredibly detailed inlay took a full 9 days to create, with cutting and sand shading, pressing, double cutting, and of course, since it's an exclusive Bentley, there's a wide range of high grade wood that we used. So there's chestnut, eucalyptus, pomelo, holly, lacewood, maple, olive ash, and a ripple sycamore. There's a jungle in there, Audrey. There's a jungle in the car,
and all meet to your bird's preference,
of course.
Yes,
right.
Anything for your falcon.
Anything for the falcon, yes.
So other enhancements in this bird-inspired Bentley include a cork perch on the center console that's flanked by the two front seats. The hatch has been outfitted with a pair of cork chests, one flight station, and the other a refreshment case, both of which sit on a movable tray to allow for easier access for your falcon, obviously.
Sorry.
The flight station has a draw with a piano black veneer for accessories such as a GPS bird tracking unit, binoculars so that you can keep an eye on your falcon, and handcrafted leather bird hoods and gauntlets that can be ordered as additional options. So a pair of perches are stored at the rear of the Bentley. With the hatch open, the falcons can be ready for action in the shade. There's no mention, though, if bird seeds will be sold together with the
They're an add-on. Right, in all seriousness though, the reason Bentley's launching this Falconer edition is because obviously there's a ripe market for it, particularly in the Middle Eastern elite. And the Falcon itself holds a lot of significance in those parts of the world. The Falcon is the national bird of the UAE, and Dubai has both a high-end Falcon hospital. Yes, that's right, hospital for falcons, and a museum dedicated to these, you know, incredible birds.
There was also that time, I think this was like earlier this January, when a Saudi prince took things to the next level for his flying companions by purchasing individual seats for each of his 80 falcons on a UAE flight. So that's right, he booked 80 individual seats for all his falcons on a plane. You know, I mean, yeah, just... Yeah, so just so they can enjoy some in-flight entertainment, you know.
Oh, what would they be watching? What would they be watching?
Storks.
Storks, yeah. Happy Feet, maybe.
I don't know. Okay. You can check out that picture online. It was floating around Reddit the last time I checked. It's really cute. You can see all these falcons like staring into the screen.
And if you read that same Reddit thread, one comment points out that Qatar Airways allows a maximum of 6 falcons on board per customer. And Gizmodo reports that Etihad Airways allows falcons in the main cabin or as checked baggage.
Oh, no.
How? You know, how? No. Anyway, coming back to the Bentleys, no price has been quoted for the Bentley Bentayga Falconer Edition, but we're pretty sure it won't have trouble finding buyers when it hits the market. I have a question, though, Ords, and I'm sure it'll ruffle some feathers. But if a person who flies falcons is called a falconer, do you call a person who flies hawks a hawker?
It's something to think about, right?
Anyway. Or not to think about.
Oh, no. I'm just curious. Thanks, okay, sorry,
okay.
Sorry.
Okay, on that note, we've come to the end of today's Biz Bytes. Just before we go, we'd like to run down all the stories we covered on the show just to make you feel bad for not tuning in earlier if you just tuned in, that is.
Right. We started off with a friendly community service message on how you can cut back on overspending or overshopping by leaving a few things at home when you head out to the mall. Top of the list, credit cards and your best friend who tells you everything looks good on you. Leave them at home.
Yes. And then we moved on to news. 7-Eleven Malaysia has become the first retailer in the country to accept the Alipay mobile wallet payment and now looks to attract more Chinese tourists to shop at the convenience store chain. 94% of some 2,000 7-Eleven stores nationwide are already live with the system.
Yep, then we covered how Amazon's Echo Look assistant is now live. It's an assistant for the fashionistas of the world and it's essentially a really intense selfie camera. It can take photos and videos as well as function as a standard Alexa device. I guess there are no more excuses for being unprepared, as the Echo Look provide news, updates, weather reports, as well as set timers and play audiobooks.
We also covered how Toyota has hopped on the blockchain bandwagon. The car makers unveiled a number of projects that aim to address how the software will help people become comfortable with autonomous technologies. That means monitoring and distributing information about the safety of individual vehicles, the way owners use their cars, and of course, cut down on fraud.
And finally, we gave you a bird's eye view report on the Bentley's Bentayga Falcon edition with a name that implies exactly who the model is made for: people who rear and fly actual falcons. Yeah. The car is designed to accommodate the majestic birds and their human companions with a dashboard made out of the finest wood and compartments for all your falcon flying accessories. Remember, links to all these stories will be posted on the website as well as our BFM app, which you can download off the Apple App Store if you're on iOS or from Google Play Store for Android users.
Yeah. Yes, and next up is the Breakfast Grill replay. Johan Ishak, CEO of My Creative Ventures, was on the show this morning. Set up by the government as an investment arm that aims to spur Malaysia's creative industry via strategic and innovative funding through debt of equity investments in Malaysian creative companies, My Creative Ventures has since dipped its hands across various creative platforms ranging from fashion labels to visual arts to creative technology, just to name a few. The company CEO, Johan Ishak, shed some light on the Malaysian creative landscape and its future. All that is right up after the 1 p.m. news bulletin.
Indeed, and that's a wrap up for today's episode. For Audrey Raj and myself, Rich Bradbury, this has been Enterprise Biz Bytes. Have a pleasant afternoon ahead. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.